Hallelujah. Thank you, choir, for that encouragement. I tell you, we made it this far. We're going to make it all the way. Hallelujah. Oh, would you like to praise Him again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've come this far by grace. Hallelujah. We'll continue on by grace. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like you to keep your Bibles ready tonight because I don't have a formal text. I want to talk to you tonight about the spirit at Christmas. Not the spirit of Christmas, but the spirit at Christmas. The spirit at Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done in this service so far. You've encouraged, you've strengthened, you've touched, you've spoken. Lord, we thank you for all of that. Thank you for feeling edified tonight, Lord, being in your presence. I pray the same spirit of whom I want to speak about would anoint me to challenge our hearts to what you want to do for us this evening and the days ahead. Lord, let us not leave here without the discouraged being encouraged, those that feel weak being strengthened, those that are feeling empty to be filled. Lord, those that are feeling doubtful to have faith. Lord, we ask that those things will be accomplished through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen. The spirit at Christmas. I shared a little bit with my Sunday school class and in the choir room before we came out today to lead in worship. But the conference I just spoke at, it was real unique. It was teaching that was professionally videotaped to be translated in different languages and spread throughout the world. But the thing, that's not the uniqueness. The uniqueness was it was all on one subject, and that was the life of Christ. And it had two tracks. One was biographical and the other was theological, all about Jesus. But almost from the very beginning, here's what I noticed. As the preachers began to preach about Jesus and the congregation hungrily was taking it in, you could feel such a sense of the Holy Spirit. And it shouldn't surprise us because the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. Is to, how many still believes what you've heard me say so often, that the Holy Spirit is found where Jesus is glorified? And on, I believe it was the first night service, the preacher was preaching about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit began to move upon congregation. And at the end of that message, the congregation stood and began to worship the Lord. And I was worshiping too, but I began to observe a little bit because you could literally see the Holy Spirit come upon people and begin to move in people and begin to move through people. Amen. And I watched an elderly pastor over to my left. I could see the Spirit come upon him, and the next thing you knew, he was out in the aisle and he was dancing before the Lord. And I know folks can fake things or just do things because that's the way they've always done it in church. But, you know, you can tell when folks, it's not about them. It's not about being seen. It's because they're feeling the Holy Spirit upon them. And I know those things that I saw were not the Holy Spirit. They were the response to the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is real. And when He comes upon us, it does have an effect. And I know it's a threadbare illustration, but if you touch electricity, amen, it's going to be evident. It's going to have some effects upon you when you come in contact with that power. And I know the Holy Spirit is a person, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And I believe if there's anything that we need, it's to be a people that's desirous to have the Holy Spirit move upon them, to move in them, and to move through them. I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. Oh, hallelujah. How many feels that way? Holy Spirit, move upon our worship. Holy Spirit, move upon our singing. Holy Spirit, move upon our walk. Move upon our witness. Hallelujah. And you say, why are you sharing all this? Because I got to thinking about, I know we're at Christmas time and we're in the Christmas season. And I know you may know this, I just want to reiterate it. But from the very beginning of this age of the church, this age of grace, this age of salvation through Christ, from the very beginning, there was the moving of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I want to point out from the very first of the story, even before Jesus was born, there was a moving of the Holy Spirit. In the precursor events, amen, to the birth of Christ, the ministry of Christ, there was the Holy Spirit, God at work on, God at work in, and God at work through people by His Spirit. Amen. If I had a text, and I'm going to look at some of these verses, but it would have been found in Luke, in the birth narratives of Christ. And if you remember about Luke, the first chapter, he deals with the events preceding the birth of Christ. Amen. Many people know, but just in case, just for a matter of refreshment, Luke wrote two books, and he wrote each of these books, Luke and Acts, to Theophilus, and he wrote them. He wrote them not as theology books. He wrote them as historical books. You say, is that important? Yes, because it's not a made-up thing. It is historical. At the very beginning of the coming of Christ and what brought Christ, historically, at the very beginning, there was the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Luke records later in Acts how when Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came upon the church and filled them and empowered them and equipped them. That's the book of Acts. But the book of Luke, the life of Christ, he begins even there with the power of the Spirit at work. Luke begins with the Spirit. Acts begins with the Spirit. This age begins with the moving of the Spirit. And I believe it's the plan and the will of God that if this age began with the moving of the Spirit, it's the will of God that this age ends with the moving of the Spirit of God upon, within, and through His people. Can you say amen? And so I want to look at this fact tonight. And you say, what is the Spirit at Christmas? Because be honest with me. Isn't it easy to get the idea that if it's a special day, the Holy Spirit won't be moving? Freedom service, Easter service, Christmas service, Sunday school programs, special songs obligatory to sing. Hark the herald angels sing in silent night. It's just almost an unspoken idea that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, won't be moving on a special occasion. But could I present to us tonight that that is an erroneous perspective and it's not the reality. The reality is, on the first Christmas, it was all about the moving of the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, church. I want to ask you something tonight. Could we not believe that even in this Christmas season, we could have a Holy Spirit outpour? Could we not believe, even during a special service like next Sunday, Christmas worship, that we could have the beginning of a Holy Spirit revival? How many could believe that that desperate need of your heart, that dryness and that, how many could believe that in the midst of the holiday season, the Holy Spirit could come upon you and move in you? I'm telling you, that's the way it all started on the special event of Christ's birth. Why should we not expect it to continue? From the very beginning, the Holy Spirit moved on people, and there is no reason to expect Him not to continue to do so. Let me show you this. And if you want to look in your Bibles, we'll be in Luke chapter 1 and briefly in Luke chapter 2. Look at the Holy Spirit at work. First of all, on John the Baptist, Luke 1:15, "For he shall be great." This is Gabriel speaking in the sight of the Lord. "And shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. This is the forerunner to Christ. This is the precursor to the birth of Christ, the first Christmas, and it's about the Holy Spirit. Amen. John the Baptist will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. So John the Baptist. Secondly, there's Mary. I've said it's all about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? She's just been told she's going to be with child. She said, seeing I don't have relations with the man, I know not a man. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go on. John the Baptist, Mary, Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. Amen. In Luke chapter 1, you see, the angel at first came to Zacharias. Your wife Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And then he comes to Mary in a distance way up north and says to her, you're not married. You don't have relations with a man. You're going to have a child. Mary said, how's this going to be? The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And by the way, the angel said, remember that cousin, that elderly cousin of yours that's past childbearing way down there? Amen. Remember that in the South Country, she's going to have a child too. Amen. Mary's left there saying, she's going to have a child. She's too old. Amen. There's no doubt in my mind that Mary made that arduous trip, that long trip down to a cousin's house she may have never been to before, only knew by name and family tree. And she went and she knocked on the door. And when she knocked on the door, Elizabeth couldn't see her. Elizabeth wasn't looking through the peephole. Amen. But when she knocked on the door, the Holy Spirit was at work. Hallelujah. I said the Holy Spirit was at work. Luke 1:41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation, the greeting of Mary, the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, there it is again. Amen. John the Baptist, Holy Ghost. Mary, Holy Spirit. Amen. Elizabeth, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Verse 42. And she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Holy Spirit. Amen. Zechariah, we won't go into all his story, his beginning, the response to the angel's pronouncement that they were going to have a child. He responded with doubt. Oh, but when that child was born, they wanted to name him Zacharias. Zacharias can't talk, been struck dumb, unable to speak because of his lack of belief. And Elizabeth said, no, we're not going to call him that. Oh, come on. You got to call him after his dad, Zach Jr. That's what it's got to be. Oh, no, we can't. They handed writing implements and tablets to Zacharias. And Zacharias said, his name shall be called John, just like the instruction of the angel. I'm telling you, at that, Zacharias' tongue was loosed. And in verse 67, his father Zacharias, here it is again, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Listen to this. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our... I'm telling you, Zacharias hadn't thought that out. He hadn't written notes for that. I'm telling you, how did he speak those things about John? It's because the Holy Spirit came upon him. Do you see this? I said at the beginning, Holy Spirit on John the Baptist, Holy Spirit on Mary, Holy Spirit on Elizabeth, Holy Spirit on Zacharias. And it doesn't stop there. After Jesus was born, This is all attending his birth. This is slightly after. But Mary and Joseph, the adopted father of Jesus, took Jesus to the temple to have those things accomplished that the law demanded. But when they walked into the temple grounds, just a little embarrassed because they were so poor they couldn't bring a sheep. They had to bring those little doves. Amen. A little embarrassed about their condition. Their baby hadn't been born in a palace. It had been born in a manger, in a stable. Amen. They're a little feeling out of place. But I want to tell you, when they walked onto the temple precinct grounds, they were encountered. They were met by an elderly man that said, "Give me that baby." Don't you know? That was a little startling. Hallelujah. Who was that man? That man was Simeon. Simeon was a man that knew the power of the Spirit. Look in Luke 2:25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." Here it is. "And the Holy Ghost was upon him." Verse 26. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah." Verse 27. Here it is again. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple." Even maybe he was at home saying, "I just won't go to the temple today. I'll go to the market." But as he began to leave the door, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He said, "Don't go to the market. Go to the temple." Amen. He was there by divine moving of the Spirit. He was there by the divine impetus of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I think we can pray until God will even do that for sinner folks and unbelievers. We can pray where they get up, get in their car and say, "I'm going to go to the ball game. I'm going to go to the lake. And the Holy Spirit can begin to move upon them and say, "No, go to that church. I want you to meet somebody. I want you to meet a Savior." Amen. Here it is, the Holy Spirit at work again. Hallelujah. I said the Holy Spirit on John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit upon Mary, the Holy Spirit upon Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit upon Zacharias, the Holy Spirit upon Simeon. Let me mention someone else, Anna. It doesn't particularly say anything about the Spirit with her. She was the elderly lady that encountered Christ in the temple. But it does say, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess." You don't prophesy without the Holy Spirit. Not in it be real without the Holy Spirit. So could you stick with me and say that it's not a stretch to say it was the Holy Spirit upon Anna too? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad to see this pattern? I know you know this. How many's glad to see this pattern? That from the very beginning of this age, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need him. We need something more than man's ability, man's resources, man's thought. We need the moving of the Holy Spirit. I want to just quickly analyze what we just talked about. First of all, the Holy Spirit. How many's with me right here? I want you to hear this. First of all, the Holy Spirit came upon a whole family. The baby John was filled from his mother's womb. Mama Elizabeth had the Holy Spirit fill her. And Daddy Zacharias, the Holy Spirit filled her. It's a whole family. I tell you what we need to see one more time is when the whole family comes under the moving of the Holy Spirit. It's filled. I'm tired of seeing folks left out. You say it can't happen. It can't happen. I'm tired of seeing a wife serving God by herself. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit can get a hold of the husband. He can come to salvation. He can come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Mom and dad are doing their best to serve God, to love God. But the child, the kid, he says, I know better than everybody else. I know better than the preacher. I know better than mom and dad. I'm going to do my thing. Amen. I like that world too much. I don't believe we have to settle for that. I believe we can have the whole family filled with the Holy. You talk about revival. I said, you talk about revival. Hallelujah. The kids back in Sunday school, amen, begin to have class and the Holy Ghost falls on the kid in class. Amen. Mom, she's in a prayer meeting on Tuesday morning. The Holy Ghost comes and falls upon her. Amen. Dad, he goes to men's meeting. Amen. This time it's not about hunting. This time we're talking about the Word of God and the Holy Ghost falls on dad. And then they come out to the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, and child's got the Holy Spirit, and mom's got the Holy Spirit, and dad's got the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. How many wants to pray that the Holy Spirit would move on and in and through a whole family? Hallelujah. The second observation I want to make is it was upon both genders. Amen. What some folks may think, Christianity is the least gender-biased religion of the world. John and Zacharias and Simeon, they have the Holy Spirit upon them, but so do Mary and Elizabeth and Anna. He is no respect of persons. Glory to God. I said, how many believes what I'm telling you? Hallelujah. Male or female. Notice that it was from every age. I'm telling you, there is ancient Anna. She may not appreciate that. Ancient Anna. Amen. Here is old Simeon. Here's someone in between. Up in the upper middle age. Zacharias and Elizabeth. And here is Mary, a young teenage girl. Oh, but it even gets younger. Here's an embryo. Hallelujah. John the Baptist in the womb. I'm telling you, talking about from the very youngest to the very oldest, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something else. Every social standing and status. We have the single, that's Mary. We have the married, Zacharias and Elizabeth. We have the widowed. We have Anna. Amen. We have the bachelor, Simeon. I'm talking about every social status. Amen. We have every possible different position. We have somebody that's got a job in the church, Zacharias. We got a homemaker, Elizabeth. We got a young girl that doesn't do anything except help out at her parents' home. Amen. We got all of that from every position, but the Holy Spirit moved upon all of them. No wonder Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that which was prophesied by the Spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out of my spirit. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Yes, sir, but your old men shall dream. And it doesn't matter if you're a handmaiden or the mistress, upon all flesh I'll pour out my spirit. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad for it? Let's worship him tonight and say, let's have the spirit at Christmas. Hallelujah. And so before I end, let me summarize what happened. That was to whom it happened. First of all, the Holy Spirit did something to them and through them. I think it's safe to say when the Spirit moves upon you, you'll never be the same. If you'll really let Him do His work. I'm talking about something that goes far deeper than emotion. I'm talking about the Spirit. The Spirit did something to them. You know, I thought about Elizabeth. And I could read again verse 44. As soon as she heard Mary's salutation, her baby, since he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, you know, I told myself I wasn't going to get into these details. But do you realize what just happened there? The baby in Elizabeth's womb recognized the baby in Mary's womb. Yes, by the Spirit. John the Baptist was full of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit knew the Son. They'd been together for all eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, it did something to that baby. The Holy Spirit did something to that baby. I know all your mothers can say, well, my baby moved around a whole lot and all of that. But Elizabeth knew that too. This was different. Maybe there was a cadence to it, a rhythm to it. I don't know. But there had to be a difference, or she would just say, well, my baby's moving a lot today. Right? The Holy Spirit did something. Did something. And did you notice? Did you see what happened when I read it? When John the Baptist got to feeling the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth recognized he was feeling the Holy Spirit, and she started feeling the Holy Spirit too. Didn't it say that? I'm telling you, that's the way it works. You let just one young person get filled with the Holy Spirit, and it won't be long. Someone for that too. Hallelujah. One person filled with the Holy Spirit will affect another person to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, how many believes the Spirit at Christmas? It did something to them. Simeon's told to go to the temple. It did something to it. It changed his plans. Verse 25, he was told. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit in the temple. So number one, the Holy Spirit did something to and through them. And secondly, the Holy Spirit did something extraordinary with them. And in reality, all these events are extraordinary. Amen. But Mary conceived a child without a human father. That's extraordinary. A virgin birth. People said that can't happen. Not in the human realm of resources. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit came upon her and something extraordinary happened in her life. How many would say a virgin birth is extraordinary? I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit begins to work, extraordinary things happen. Things will happen in your home, in your life, will happen in the church. Healings and deliverances and God moving providentially and people's hearts being changed. Extraordinary things happen. You know, if all we got is human talent and human emotion, that's all we're going to have is human talent. And in human, it's same as usual, same old thing, however you hype it up. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit gets to move in, extraordinary things happen. I feel the frustration sometimes of seeing things that need to be done for folks in the spiritual realm. I can get louder. Amen. I can, and that'll help in one sense, but I can pray a little harder. I can do this and that, study a little deeper. But when it's all said and done, if the Holy Spirit moves, that's when the extraordinary things were going to happen. Can you say amen? Mary conceived a child. Elizabeth prophesied that Mary is carrying the Messiah. That is extraordinary. She may have never seen Mary or not seen Mary in a long time. She had no idea that Mary was even expectant. But Elizabeth, when she greeted Mary at the door, she looked at her and said, "You are the mother of the Messiah." That is extraordinary. I said, that's extraordinary. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know why people settle for the awful fare of Hollywood when they have the reality of Scripture. That's extraordinary. And Elizabeth began to prophesy. Simeon knows that he will not die until he has seen the Messiah by the Holy Spirit. It's extraordinary to know that you're not going to die. He's an old man. Amen. People looked at him and said he's got one foot in the grave. Amen. Amen. They came and tried to sell him a grave plot. And he looked at them and said, "I don't need it yet." How can you say that? You're up in years. I know I'm up in years, but God has told me I will not die until I have seen the Messiah. That is extraordinary. So the Holy Spirit did something to and through them. The Holy Spirit did something extraordinary with them. And the Holy Spirit did something eternal through them. John, by the Spirit, would turn hearts to God. Look at Luke. Chapter 1, verse 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." I want to tell you this thing about the Holy Spirit. May it never be misunderstood. It feels good when the Holy Spirit moves. It's exciting when the Holy Spirit moves. But the Holy Spirit's moving is always about eternal things. Amen. I'll tell you what why he wants to move, just not so I can feel doodads. Doodads go up and down my back. He wants to move so somebody that needs to deliver can be delivered. Somebody that needs to be encouraged can be. Somebody that's on the road to hell can be turned around by a supernatural touch of God. Be turned to go into heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, it's about eternity from the very beginning. That's why John the Baptist came full of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus came. Amen. That's why Zacharias and Elizabeth prophesied. Everything in it, even Simeon. Amen. "You shall not die till you see the Messiah." He held Jesus in his arms. He said, "Oh, now I can die because I see the Messiah. I see the one that shall save," amen, "from people, from their sins." It's all about salvation. It's all about eternity. eternity. It's all about preparation for the next world. Amen. People today, many times in the church world, have made the moving of the Spirit about getting rich and about developing a good self-esteem and about all this development of your potential and all of that. Amen. You look in this book, the moving of the Spirit was never about those material, horizontal. The moving of the Spirit was always about eternal things. The salvation of the soul, the deliverance of the heart, the turning of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, that would summarize it all. We need that moving of the Spirit. I'm telling you, come here on a Christmas worship next Sunday morning. Amen. We're praying that the Holy Spirit would move and draw folks to an altar where they can be eternally saved. Amen. How many will pray with me this week for that? Music, would you come? Hallelujah. Mary gave birth not to an educator, not to a philosopher, not to a self-help guru. She gave birth by the Spirit to a Savior. To a Savior. To a Savior. That's eternal things. I want to ask some questions tonight just to help lead us into the altar this evening. Would you answer these questions honestly? Now, I'm going to preface these questions with this. Satan knows how to work on us. And if he can get us worried about how long it's been since we felt the Holy Spirit, he'll keep us from experiencing the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a rough analogy. I know about everything there is about how not to fall asleep. I have trouble falling asleep. And I've learned one thing. The second you start worrying about falling asleep, worrying about falling asleep will keep you from falling asleep. And if Satan can get us worried in that sense, not concerned, God will get us concerned, but if Satan can get us worried and fearful about not feeling the Spirit, not being baptized in the Holy Spirit, yeah, if he can get us worried and fearful about that, he's got us. He's got us to a place we can experience God. So I am not aiming for that kind of response tonight. I'm only aiming for an honest response to these questions, believing that we serve a God who'll always feel the hungry and the thirsty. How many believes that tonight? Amen. So I want you to answer these questions tonight. When was the last time you were aware of the Holy Spirit moving upon you and within you? Think about that. When was the last time? Has it been a while? Let's ask it all across this building. When was the last time? And by the way, I want to put in a parenthesis here. If you've ever truly felt the Holy Spirit moved upon you, nothing else you'll ever experience will ever satisfy. Oh, what a marvel it is that eternal Spirit would move upon frail humanity. You say, well, I don't deserve the Holy Spirit to move on me. Look around. Do you see anybody in this building that deserves the Holy Spirit to move upon them? And I'm not going to open another message, but go back to the Old Testament. You find on what the Holy Spirit comes upon. The oil which represented the Holy Spirit was always put on the person only after the blood was put on. None of us deserve the Holy Spirit, but he comes upon the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So how long has it been? When's the last time? And the second question is, when was the last time something extraordinary happened in your life because the Spirit was at work in you and upon you? I'm not talking about sensationalism. I'm talking about something you could say was extraordinary. A word from God. Amen. God moving in your life. God accomplishing something. When's the last time something extraordinary happened in your life because of the Holy Spirit? And the last question is, when was the last time something eternal was made real to you by the Holy Spirit? Something like heaven. Something about the need of the law. Something eternal made real to you about the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Amen. I want you to think about those questions. And I'm like the rest of you. I need those times. I'm like the rest of you. Even though I'm pastor, you know, you go through those dry times and those times you just keep functioning because it's the right thing to do. And you need those moving, that moving of the Holy Spirit. So let me just share a recent time with you. It happened this past week on Thursday before I had to head home. My assignment was to preach on the baptism of Christ. And it's something I believe we've got wrong in so many ways. I'm not going to preach that. Amen. But in Luke, he covers the whole account of the baptism of Jesus in one sentence in the original. That's all he shares about it. And that was kind of a challenge to me at first. And I got up there and began to preach that. And I won't go into that. I just want to share this one part of it. At the end, I was emphasizing, amen, that at the baptism of Jesus, how the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended, amen, descended from heaven upon Christ, empowering him, equipping him, amen, the Spirit come up on him, amen. And as I was preaching that and folks began to worship, amen, it shouldn't have been a surprise to us. As I said from the beginning, when you really talk about Christ, when you really focus on Christ, that's where the Holy Spirit is going to be. But as I concluded that message, amen, and I was looking up talking about the Holy Spirit descending from heaven upon Christ, I felt the Holy Spirit descend upon my heart one more time. Amen. I just felt the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. You know it when it happens. It goes far deeper than emotion. It's far deeper than just having a thought. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Even at the baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ, and he will still descend upon Christ. You have Christ in your heart. You exalt Christ in your heart. You put Christ on the throne of your heart, and the Holy Spirit will descend upon Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Could you stand across this building? Amen. Amen. Listen to me. You are discouraged. Would you come tonight and invite the Spirit to move upon you and encourage you? You're here tonight. You feel spiritually weak. You don't have to lift a hand, but please listen to me. You're here tonight. You feel spiritually weak. You would come and invite the Holy Spirit to move upon you and strengthen you. You're here tonight. You have felt the tug of this world, the tug of temptation pulling you away. Amen. You'd come tonight and invite the Holy Spirit at Christmas time to move upon you. Break every tie with the world. Amen. Change your heart. Fill it with the love and a passion for Jesus Christ. You're here tonight. You're in the heat of a battle. It's a battle in your home. It's a battle at the workplace. It's a battle financially. It's a battle with your family. It's a battle, amen, in every sense of the word. You'd come tonight and lift your heart and hands and invite the Holy Spirit to move upon you, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, amen, I want you to begin coming with these. Amen. Just come and stand tonight and lift your hands and say, I need the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something. Hear me as you come. The same Holy Spirit that was in John in the womb, the same Holy Spirit that moved upon Mary and she conceived, the same Spirit that caused Elizabeth and Zacharias to prophesy, the same Spirit that told Simeon to go to that same Spirit is here tonight. He will come upon you. He will move in you. He will move through you. Come on, church. Amen. Get in as close as you can. Hallelujah. Lift up your hearts and hands. I desire, I need, yes, right here at Christmas time. Yes, right here. It's not emotion. It's not something we work up. It's the real Spirit of God coming upon Christ. Oh, let's worship him. Let's reach out to him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's worship him. Just open up your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, move upon me. Holy Spirit, move upon me. Come on, invite him too. Hallelujah. Forget about yourself. Just ask the Holy Spirit to move upon you. Oh, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Nothing like it. Oh, Holy Spirit. It's not by mind or by power. It's by your Spirit, Lord. Oh, the Holy Spirit comes upon Christ. the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, great is the mystery of godliness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit comes upon Christ. Lord, it's not who we are. We know we're vessels. We know we're human. We know we have battles and struggles and difficulty. But oh, I remember the time, God, when I felt your Spirit. I knew your nearness. I heard your voice. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, churches, cry out to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the last days, saith the Lord, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Young men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall see visions upon my handmaiden and servant. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, the Holy Spirit at Christmas time. It's about the Holy Spirit. Let him move on you tonight. Come on, invite him to move upon you. Say, Lord, I want the power of your Spirit. I want the power of your Spirit. I want the power of your Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on, church. He's moving. It shouldn't surprise us. Oh, hallelujah. Hear me, it's not by might nor by power. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Let the enemy be confounded. Let man be confounded. Amen. Call Satan a liar. But let God be true. Let God be true. It's the age of the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're a recipient. You're a candidate. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let him move on you right now. You say, it's been too long. It's been too long. I want the power of His Spirit to flow over me. I don't like the world. I don't like the way it leaves me feeling. I want the power of your Spirit to flow over me. Say yes. Oh, there is a hunger.
And it's deep down inside of me.
Oh, let it move. Oh, let it move. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I thirst. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let him move. Don't you listen to Satan. He'll say it can't happen to you. It can't happen for you. He's alive. Let Jesus wash your heart in his blood. Hallelujah. The oil's applied to the blood. Amen. Let your heart be filled with Christ. The Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus. Exalt him. Exalt the Lord. Exalt Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.